The following programming is sponsored by Carol Captus Holloway. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Well, good Monday afternoon. Do you feel like a ping pong ball right now? Oh my gosh, the politics are so heated up. You are listening to Tell Me More with Carol Holloway. We are live right here at WWDB on the radio, live on the podcast, and the podcast will be up later today if you miss any part of our exciting show. You can also Instagram and Facebook me with any questions or comments that you may have. And we are also live on Odyssey. And I just found out that you can pull us up on Alexa. Yay! I want to get into voting, but not yet. There is so much toxic news out there right now that my head is reeling. And if you are out there following the political climate, you must be reeling too. I have been listening to all the interviews from both of the candidates wherever I can get them. Preferably live is my preference, including the wonderful, I'm choking on that, Elon Musk, who thinks that if you work 100 hours a week and your coworker works 50 hours a week, you're working twice as hard. Yes, those are his words. Can you believe it? Not only that, Elon Musk is out there buying votes right now. Yes, the government is looking into it. It is illegal to buy a vote to pay for somebody's registration for election or to persuade them to vote a certain way. He is trying to escape this by a loophole, which I don't know if it's going to happen. He was right in Delaware County last week at Ridley High School. None of the students knew he was coming. They shut down the school. They had police from several different boroughs coming in to supervise after the kids had to spend the week doing active shooter training because Elon Musk was coming to their school to register voters and paying them $47 if they sign the petition. So here's the deal. He's going around the country. I can't believe the Republicans are freaking buying votes. Seriously, are you that desperate that you have to buy votes? So what's happening is Elon Musk is going around the country. It went from $47 to $100. Now we're at $1 million a day where he is inviting people to come to scenarios. And I don't appreciate that he went to a public school to have this discussion with residents from the area that showed up to register to vote. But what he's doing is he's getting you there, asking you to register to vote, preferably or only Republican, and promising that you'll vote for Donald Trump. And then he's telling you he will pay you to do this, but after you sign his his petition about gun control. So, and he's gotten a little more bizarre since then. So you will be hearing this on the news if you haven't heard it already. I found out about it last week. It was after this show. And I was just amazed that this was actually happening in real time. But I'm going to come back and talk about some of the crazy crap that's going on. The mudslinging is out of control, and it's mostly on the Republican side. You know, I don't understand when the Democrats do it, it's not okay. But when the Republicans do it, it's okay. I'm having a real hard time with that. But last week, I started my series of cyber topics, and we will come back to it. I promise we're coming back to it because I have an amazing guest coming on. Real quick, just before I bring on my next guest, I have an amazing guest coming on to talk about voting and the Latino community. Maria Teresa Kumar is the co-founder and president of Voto Latino Foundation. And she's going to be on to talk about what's happening in the Latino community. You don't want to miss this, whether you agree, disagree, where Latinos stand right now, and the amount of voting that they actually contribute to our country, and a little bit about undocumented immigrants who actually work in this country, but are here on a pass to be able to work, working papers. But let me get back. Okay, so that's coming up. You don't want to miss it. But let me get back to the other part of my show that I'm talking about. So I decided, because there was so much cyber hacking going on, cybersecurity is so important. There's criminal stuff going on with your bank accounts that we talked about last week. Ben Chance was here. Today, I have Grant Hansen of Mutual Jewelers. And Mutual Jewelers is a leading insurer dedicated to protecting jewelry and business industries since 1913. And Grant is here to give us some essential tips for both businesses and you, our listeners, our consumers, on taking proactive measures to protect data from criminals. Every October is National Security Awareness Month. And so these are really timely segments that I'm doing. I'll have one more next week. And criminals are out there trying to steal your information and your money from your small businesses and from you, our listeners, from, you know, mom and dad, you know, Mr. and Mrs., you know, kids, whoever. Cybercrime is on the rise. And while businesses are often targeted, we consumers also have to be super vigilant to protect ourselves from the hackers, from the social engineering and the spyware that we just, oh my gosh, it's getting more sophisticated. Spyware is becoming more sophisticated than ever before. And according to the International Crime Report of 2023, the Federal Bureau of Investigation Internet Cybercrime Complaint Center has documented cyber-related losses totaling $34.7 billion over the past 5 years. So I am super excited to bring Grant on board. He is the chief information officer, as I said, with Jewelers Mutual, where he oversees the company's information security and governance strategies. He has over 25 years of experience in technology and security leadership roles, and Grant has served diverse industries and organizations of various sizes in his professional passions lie in developing business-enabling information security programs, and he's so committed to advancing security measures for safeguarding company assets while supporting business innovation. And you've heard me say here, you know, my debit card, my credit card's been hacked. Our business had been hacked. They didn't get anything. We caught it right away. Thank God we had a really good bank. But it's really alarming at how many people are being hacked on a daily basis. So I am super excited to bring Grant on board, and let's discuss this a little bit more. This is part two of our three-part series. Let's bring Grant on right now.
Hi, Grant.
Hi, Carol. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I mean, this is it's October, National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. And so we've made a series of these cybersecurity things that we can possibly do. And because you have such a vast knowledge of information on this topic, can you explain to our listeners exactly what cybercrime is?
Certainly. So think of cybercrime simply as any crime that occurs digitally. And I'll give you an example of one that you may not really consider to be cybercrime. But there was a recent article on Krebs on Security, and I think the FBI published it in June, about how organized crime is utilizing a fraudulent scam related to timeshares, and they're doing this via phone call. So if you think about, you know, a phone call typically is not considered cyber, it is still cyber crime at the end of the day. So that's the simplest form. And obviously, any crime that occurs over the internet is also cyber crime.
And so your phone is considered one of those sources as well, correct?
Yeah, your landline, which I'm not sure many of us have anymore, but your mobile device, your iPad, any sort of device that interacts digitally with the world, so to speak, would be considered cybercrime. Yes.
So how are we seeing this landscape evolve? What more is going on? You know, we talk about this here on the show regularly, but we're dedicating so much time to it because it seems to be moving rapidly.
So it is. The threat landscape related to, you know, cybercrime just continues to evolve, you know. And I wouldn't say that we're seeing different types of attacks, so to speak, but more just an evolution of attacks. So if you think, you know, we've all heard about ransomware, you know, whether it was Caesars or MGM or the Colonial Pipeline. Ransomware has been around since 1989, which is actually the first documented attack of ransomware. And we're still speaking about it today. What's happening with ransomware, though, it's evolving. It's becoming more sophisticated. And I would expect attacks like ransomware, especially with the advent of generative AI, so think ChatGPT, which we're all probably pretty familiar with now, will just allow that to continue to become more sophisticated, more advanced, just exponentially quicker. So expect to see, it's not going to slow down anytime soon. It's going to continue to get more sophisticated, more elaborate, but the same threats are going to continue to be what we're concerned about.
Grant, what are some of the things that we can do to protect ourselves from cybercrime and particularly ransomware? Does just like a person like me get a ransomware notice, or is it really directed towards businesses?
No, ransomware is one of those, and there's a, you know, let me rephrase that. Majority of attacks impact both consumers and organizations, and ransomware is one of those. So if you think about ransomware, its primary medium of attack is social engineering via email, you know, clicking on that link, downloading that malware. It then installs and encrypts your machine. That happens to individuals and happens to organizations. There are ways to protect against it and mitigate the risk. Number one, let's be aware of, hey, I am on the internet. I do have email. I could be a victim of cybercrime and or ransomware. So just realize that it's really not a question of if it's going to happen, but when. So it's important to stay diligent all the time.
Wow. That shocks me when you say when, not if. When. So the likely, and my cards have been hacked. I said that last week on the show. Our personal debit cards have been hacked. You know, I get a new one and use it once and it's already hacked. I'm like, wait a minute, I just activated the card. I don't understand how that can happen. So how are things like that happening? What can we do to protect ourselves?
Monitor, you know, from a consumer perspective, you know, you mentioned the credit card, you know, number theft. It's really, from that perspective, it's paying attention to your accounts, you know, being aware and always being diligent of where you're using those cards, whether it's a debit card or a credit card. I would suggest always use a credit card. It's just easier to deal with. But just be aware is the primary aspect. And then from a, you know, protective measure perspective, everyone has online banking or a healthcare portal app or whatnot. Majority offer some sort of strong authentication control. So multi-factor, as an example, make sure that you're leveraging those strong authentication controls that are available to you to help protect your account. Passwords really are no longer viable in protecting your identity. You really need to use some sort of multi-factor strong authentication component that banks and healthcare organizations offer today.
Right. So that's like the two-step or the three-step verification.
Exactly.
Okay. So let's talk about antivirus software and firewalls. You say to make sure that they're current and active. Now, I've been scammed or have seen the scams for software to protect your computer. And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? I know this is a scam. Why am I going to sign up with you? But the average person might not know that they're being solicited to have antivirus software or firewalls on their computer that is scam based. What should we look for?
If you receive any, if you're online surfing the internet and you receive any pop-up that says, hey, your computer's been infected, click here, call this number to get help, it's a scam. There isn't a software vendor that's legitimate that exists that's going to try to sell you software that way. So, you know, just know that as you're surfing, especially if you already have antivirus software, which majority of the PCs come with it by default when you buy one today, just know that it's a scam. You just have to know what to look for, and that's where staying aware and keeping yourself educated. And it doesn't take a lot of time to do that, but just stay aware. Just know that, you know, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. So somebody telling you you're impacted and then saying, click here, that's too good to be true.
Now, we talk about firewalls, and I find that sometimes firewalls can get me frustrated because I'm trying to go to a particular site and I'm blocked by my firewall. And then I have to go through this whole process to unblock it. But firewalls are really safe, correct?
Yes, and they're required in order to protect yourself. you know, and the majority of them that come today, so like if you get home internet and you sign up for AT&T or Southwestern Bell or whoever your local provider is, and they provide you with a router with a built-in firewall, by default, that will be configured to deny all connections in. But some key components that you can do to help further secure that is just make sure you change the default password, because they're all going to come with a pretty generic password that's easily found on the internet. And then you mentioned about, you know, being blocked on sites. Generally speaking, that won't happen on a home office type firewall unless you set it up that way. And then if you set it up that way, chances are you're savvy enough to be able to go in and modify that. And it sounds like you are. It's just kind of a pain. But generally speaking, it should be pretty seamless to the end user. Just make sure you've got it installed and is operating effectively.
So what is Jewelers Mutual doing to educate and protect consumers and their businesses?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. So Jewelers Mutual has been protecting organizations for over 100 years from a physical security perspective. Within the last few years, we've really started to dive into the digital realm. So some of the things that we do is, you know, we actively participate in trade shows where we will discuss cybersecurity topics. We're actually in the middle of hosting an educational webinar right now. We're on a second of our three-part series, which is going to air on Thursday, related to cybersecurity. And this next session actually addresses how to protect yourself against ransomware. And then we also have developed some security awareness training that is free to our jewelers and agents that they can sign up for. And then lastly, we do have a cyber liability offering that can be added on to some of our commercial policies. So we do have a number of components that are available today, and then we're continuing to evolve that. So stay tuned for some new things that are coming your way.
We're going to ask you about the links to that in a minute, but you mentioned cyber liability. Is there such a thing as cyber insurance coverage, and is it just for businesses, or can I purchase it?
So you can't purchase cyber liability as a consumer, to my knowledge. I've never actually looked into that. So I will do that because I'm kind of curious now. Could I actually do it? Maybe if I'm a high wealth individual, I could do it. But typically where a consumer gets some level of insurance is through some identity theft protection software or service. So LifeLock is an example of that. You know, they have, a $1 million insurance policy against your identity being compromised. So that would probably be the best route today to obtain something from a consumer perspective. But it is available to every organization and every business through, you know, their local insurance carrier. If you work with JM, Jewelers Mutual, we can certainly help with that. I would just ask you to contact your agent, because it does get a little bit complicated when you're talking about the size of the organization, what you actually need, what's the best coverage, and so forth.
I'm surprised the insurance companies haven't jumped all over this, or maybe it's just too high risk and it would cost them too much money. When you search it and check into it, please let me know for sure.
Okay.
So where can we get more information? If our listeners want to listen to your webinars, or if they're over and they want to go back and listen to them, first of all, can they, and where can we listen?
If we host a webinar, you can listen, you can access it off of jewelersmutual.com. I don't have the exact link. I can get that too when they actually get posted. When we present at trade shows, it's typically will be available via the trade show's website. But then there's also, you know, just jewelersmutual.com online jewelry buying. We have a number of blog posts out there. Jewelersmutual.com/cybersecurity is another area of our website where we have information related to cyber, as well as our training. So those are the two Jewelers Mutual ones. From a non-Jewelers Mutual, I always like to point everyone to the Cybersecurity Infrastructure and Security Agency, CISA.gov. You might think of that as primarily as an organizational website, but it can be valuable to consumers as well. They can report identity theft issues to there as well if they need to and gain some insight and some support. So I would start there, and then I always like to advertise or put out there credsonsecurity.com. That is a wealth of information that is current. It's continuously being updated with new content that is consumer-oriented as well as business. It provides you good insight into the different types of attacks and so forth.
And real quick, Grant, last year in 2023, $37.4 billion over the past 5 years was cyber-related losses. Have they recovered any of that, and how hard is it to recover that money?
I don't know the recovery statistics. A lot of that is most likely exchanged via cryptocurrency. And cryptocurrency is very difficult. It's not, I don't know if it's necessarily impossible, but it's very difficult to recover. You know, where you have a compromise or a loss associated with like a business email compromise via an ACH transaction that occurs between two banks, it is possible to capture some of that if you are able to notify the financial institutions in time. But generally speaking, anything that's done in a cryptocurrency form is most likely lost.
Wow, that's amazing. We're going to continue to discuss this topic, and I thank you for dropping in here and giving us some information and telling us more about what we can do. Grant, one more time, where can we go for additional information?
Hi, JewelersMutual.com is our primary website, and from there you can navigate to various areas where we have cybersecurity-related information.
Awesome. Thank you for joining us today. Appreciate your time.
Hey, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
And you can pull up on the internet what's called the FBI Internet Crime Report from 2023, and I'm sure that'll be updated. Let me take a quick commercial break, and I have just a little bit of advice to share with you, and I'll tell you who next week's cyber criminal guest will be. You are listening to Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, and we will be right back.
Hey, Philadelphia homeowners. To build for looks and durability, side your home with LP SmartSide Expert Finish Trim and Siding, now available in brushed smooth texture. Available in 16 versatile colors, LP SmartSide Expert Finish products will help you create a gorgeous, longer-lasting dream home. That's the beauty of brushed smooth. Learn more about LP SmartSide Expert Finish products in brushed smooth texture at lpcorp.com/Philly Siding. That's lpcorp.com/Philly Siding.
Hello, this is Erin, and I have a very important message. If you or a loved one is suffering with any sort of crisis, there is no need to do it alone. Dial the 988 Suicide and Crisis Hotline, where trained professionals will handle your case and get you the help you need any day, anytime. All reports are fully confidential. Dial 988, and a responder will do everything they can to assist you. Remember, if you see something, say something. You may just be saving someone's life. Remember, 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Hotline.
Hi, this is Carol Holloway from Home Improvement Fix and Facts. Listen to me live every Tuesday morning from 8 to 9 right here at WWDB. And if you can't listen live, make sure you go to WWDBAM.com and listen to my podcast. Each week, we will give you great ideas on how to fix your home and some facts on how to put it all together.
In the middle of our streets, our house.
Watching. Everybody is watching. They're watching the election, but they're watching your internet keystrokes, your phone, your transactions. So one piece of advice, whenever you have the opportunity when using your debit card to choose between debit and credit, always choose credit over debit. It's so much easier to fight should you have an issue. Next week, joining us to talk about cybersecurity and how AI, artificial intelligence, is affecting that market will be David Shepard from Avante. So I'm super excited to have him on board. And hopefully that'll complete our series for the month of October of cybersecurity and things that you could do. Like I said, we did another piece last week. Please feel free to go back to WWDB's website and listen to any of my podcasts here, especially if you miss anything that is going on. As I said at the top of the hour, the mudslinging has begun. The fighting is ridiculous. The lies, the fact that Elon Musk and former president, citizen Donald Trump, feel emboldened to lie on a regular basis is just beyond me. If they're lying now, can you imagine what they can do if they are in office? Because Trump has already promised Elon Musk a position in his cabinet. Excuse me. So people, many of these lies have been debunked. Right now, Donald Trump does not want to do any interviews or debates or anything of that sort because he has said, and I put in air quotes out of his mouth, he does not want to be fact checked. So if somebody's worried about being fact-checked, doesn't it mean that they're lying? And, you know, billionaire tech mogul Elon Musk has been ramping up his efforts to help reelect former President Donald Trump, and he's raising eyebrows around the political world and inviting questions about the legality of his tactics. As I told you, he was in Delaware County last week at Ridley Senior High School, where the kids were literally kicked out of school and told to go directly home after having a week of active shooter training because they knew that Elon Musk was coming to the school, but the parents and the kids were not notified. And I don't appreciate a public school being used for this purpose, where Elon Musk is bribing voters to vote Republican and paying them, which is now under deep scrutiny. And I don't know what's going to happen so close to the election with this, but he's been spreading conspiracy theories, too, talking about the Dominica election machines being here in the state of Pennsylvania. They have never been in the state of Pennsylvania. We do not use them to vote on. So he's not even getting his facts straight. And then I listened to the ramping craziness of Trump talking about Arnold Palmer and his private genitalia, like to a public audience. Like, what does that have to do with voting? And then they shut down a McDonald's. They closed the McDonald's in Feasterville, Pennsylvania, made it seem like it was a big deal. Again, Trump said there were 25,000 people there. It's proven that there were not, but they closed down. I actually watched the video on PBS yesterday because I like to have the facts. I like to hear it from the horse's mouth, whether it's Harris or Trump speaking. And that dumber than a box of rocks. I mean, seriously, he would never have a job at McDonald's. And if he did, I don't think he could hold it. And that's my opinion. But it was all staged. It was all set up, including the cars that were going through the drive-thru. And it was just, it was hilarious. I mean, I can totally see a Saturday Night Live comedy skit on this next week. So I applaud Kamala Harris for fighting back. I mean, this man needs a mental incompetence test. He needs a test for his competency. Oh, by the way, shout out to my middle sister, who I found out listens to my radio shows, but will deny it because I'm such a Trump hater and everybody knows it, that she likes to attack on a regular basis saying I sound like Trump. But, you know, shout outs to you. Kudos, sister. So glad you listened to my show because she's a narcissist as well as Trump is. So, but I'm happy that she listens. Anyway, let me get off that soapbox for a minute. So I have the opportunity to talk to a great lady coming up. Her name is, she's a political activist and Voto Latino CEO and President Maria Teresa Kumar is here to talk with us about what is going on in the Latino voting segment. The Voto Latino mobilizes millions of Latino voters to get out the vote. And she's here to help us understand and make sense of all this noise we're hearing. Latinos are voting. Latinos aren't voting. They're illegal. They're undocumented. They're this, they're that. And they have invested $44 million to help the Latino electorate understand the battleground states and where the stakes are the highest and what they need to understand. And believe it or not, next week is actually October 29th is what they call National Vote Early Day. And I wanted to get this on now. And I asked her if we could do it early because that's on a Tuesday. Let me just double check my calendar here. Yeah, that's a Tuesday. And next week we have a great author coming on to the show as well. So but I'm delighted to have her here. Maria Teresa is the co-founder and president of Voto Latino Foundation, a nonprofit, nonpartisan 501c3 organization, and its sister 501c4 advocacy organization, Voto Latino. And Voto Latino Foundation and Voto Latino are the largest Latino voter registration and Latino youth advocacy organizations in this country, respectively.
And she is such a sought-after political leader and strategist. She advised President Barack Obama, his task force on the 21st century policies. And she currently serves on the National Task Force on Election Crisis and the Brookings Institution's Work Group on Universal Voting. She is also the chair of Latino Anti-Disinformation Lab. I'm giving you her history before I bring her on because I am so honored to be able to have her actually come on our show here at Tell Me More with Carol Holloway to talk about this because this is a big topic. So a little bit more about her. Maria Teresa is also an Emmy-nominated analyst for MSNBC and serves on the board of Steve Madden, Emily's List, and the Rockefeller Brothers Fund. Additionally, she is a lifetime member of the Council of Foreign Relations and a young global leader of the World Economic Forum. And she has been named among Bloomberg's 100 influential Latinos, Washingtonians Magazine's 100 top political influencers, and Elle Magazine's 10 influential women of Washington, and the Hispanic Heritage Foundation, the Hispanic Executive Magazine, Latino Leaders Magazine, and Hispanic businesses have all honored Maria Teresa. I am so delighted to have you here on our show. I feel like I get a chance to find out right from the horse's mouth what is happening in the Latino community. Welcome. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Carol. How are you?
I'm doing great. Wow. I am so happy to have you here during this very volatile, toxic election cycle. So thank you. Could you start off, you know, we're dealing with the Latino community, and it is a big voting block that is happening right now across our country. What are some of the key topics and issues that should be in the front of the minds for voters this election season?
Carol, thank you so much for having me. And my goodness, you are coming from the state where all eyes are on you. So let me tell you, we're super thrilled to have this conversation because we deeply believe that in Pennsylvania, the Latino community is going to help make all the difference. And when we, for the last 3 years, have been talking to the Latino community, one of their number one issues around policy specifically is housing. And it was not a surprise to us then when we learned that there is a, you know, on one of the presidential platforms, they don't address housing at all. But in another one, they talk specifically about providing $3 million new housing units and also a $25,000 tax credit for your first home. And that's very much squarely in the ballpark of the Kamala Harris-Waltz platform. The other issue that we learned that Latinos really care about, and this is going to be counterintuitive, but they really care about reproductive health access. And that's because when you learn that the majority of Latinos, our average age is 31 years old, they're in the middle of their prime reproductive years. And so they want to make sure that they have access to quality healthcare, including the access to abortion and reproductive health. And so when we're going into the ballot, we see a lot of folks saying that those are the two issues that are primarily of top of mind. The last issue that it deserves a lot more attention is how do you provide immigration relief for people that have been here for 10, 20, 30 years who have been paying their taxes? Most folks don't realize, but there are 16 million American among us who have a loved one that is undocumented, whether it is a spouse, whether it is a parent, whether it is an uncle. And so one of the issues driving the vote is how do you secure people, again, that have been here for 10, 20 years, who've been paying their taxes, who've been a service to America, how do they get out of the shadows and get some sort of working documents? And so those are the three big issues right now that we're seeing that is really driving the Latino community to the polls.
So Maria Teresa, something that really just, it gets under my skin is when I do hear some Latino people talking about, oh, we need the borders closed. Well, they are immigrants as well. We are all mm-hmm. immigrants in this country. Let's be honest here. Mm-hmm. And it kind of shocks me to hear that because I feel that the Kamala Harris campaign is taking Latinos into consideration, but they're not listening, whereas they're siding with the other side, who's very vulgar, who has made it very clear that he is taking away a woman's right to choose and mm-hmm. is planning on sending people back to whatever country they came from. And in some cases, this is the country they came from. So how does Vota con ganas. Am I saying that right? But with
enthusiasm. Vota con ganas. It's like, okay. Carol, it's vota con ganas. It's like, vote with all you got.
Right. So addressing those issues, what are you hearing and seeing? And then tell us about this campaign.
Yeah, so I think that you hit the nail on the head. I think that one of the things that we're learning at Voto Latino is that there is, I think the challenge right now, I'm glad you asked this. I think one of the challenges in the Latino community is less about closing the border, but all about folks that they feel what is fair. The individuals that have been crossing the border most recently have been political asylees. And with being a political asylum, you get working documents. You're allowed to come out of the shadows. You're allowed to work freely and walk freely without fear of deportation. And as a result, there is tension among the community where people, again, have said, I've been here for 10, 20, 30 years, and there's no way for me to come out of the shadows. I'll give you an example. There was a young woman. I was in Nevada just to for their early vote last weekend. And she came here to the United States when she was 3 years old. She's now 33, Carol. And she's like, I'm a DACA recipient, but even that DACA document is temporary. I have to go every 2 years and get reinstated. And I'm vulnerable to whoever is at the White House. And so for so many folks, that's the tension. And it's more of like, it's not so much, and I do wish that the campaigns would reframe it. What we need to talk about is, you're absolutely correct. What reinvigorates our country and what our history is, with the exception of African-American history and with the exception of the Native Americans, our immigrant experience is what drives us. It's what rejuvenates us. It's what makes us competitive on the global stage. And we need to have our leaders talk frankly about how it is an asset. I kind of only half joke. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to believe me that it's an asset. It is what the oftentimes Russia and China use in propaganda, in misinformation, disinformation to stir up the pot here, because they know that our advantage, our competitive advantage, is the immigrant DNA that makes us entrepreneurs and visionaries.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Maria Teresa, I agree with you, because without immigrants, there is no United States of America, because there are a lot of American people that are too damn lazy to do some of the jobs that our immigrants do. And so I don't think that I'm going to say the other side, for lack of a better word, understands that if you were to do this mass exodus and round up Latino people without even checking credentials, America would break down. And the perfect example of that is what happened in Springfield, Ohio.
You know, this is the thing, is that there, I always I don't like this idea that people that we bring in are unskilled, because everybody has a skill. And whether you are standing for 12 hours cutting up chicken, whether you are bending your back in 101 degree weather, picking our food, whether we're caring for our loved ones. And it's important for us to recognize the value and grit of good, decent work and hard work. And that's what most immigrants come here to this country. That's what they're trying to achieve. And that's what they're aiming for, is the American dream. And I would say that one of the things that we have to be very cautious of is when people want to pit Americans against each other based on our color of our skin, we're not winning. We're not addressing the big needs of America. But when we come together, we are unstoppable. Carol, I often say that back in the 1960s, a guy got out of bed, looked up at the moon and said, let's go there. And he not only had the vision, but we did it with less technology than our cell phones. That was will, right? So now our job is like, what does America want to look like in the 21st century? And our competitive advantage is absolutely our human capital. It's our imagination, our will, and our desire to make big, big change. And the way we do that is by bringing in the best and the brightest from all around the world. Because what makes America so unique is that the moment you step your foot on the soil, we are American. And let's value that. Let's harness it.
So I'm going to take as much time as I can possibly have with you, because this is really important, and my listeners are listening right now. And first, I talk about the Vota con ganas games. Correct me if I can't say, but with enthusiasm, you have kicked off this campaign with a PSA featuring some celebrated actors: Rosario Dawson, America Ferreira, Adam Rodriguez, Danny Lux. I mean, Gabriel Luna, Jessica Alba. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Alongside you, the Voto Latino Foundation co-founder and president. Do you feel that the celebrities can get the message out in these past days?
Yeah. So one of the things that we learned is that, first of all, they have incredible followings. So it's an opportunity for us to elevate the Latino community through their networks. But one of the things that makes Vota con Ganas so special, it's called Vota con Ganas, is vote with all you got. right? Vote with all your will, your desire, your hopes. And it's really centered around the community. And this is going to be one of the first times that the Latino community is not only the second largest demographic of voters, but we're disproportionately young voters. And so the more we can harness our power and recognize that the American dream is still meant to be written and that we should be the driving force of it, that we're, again, we're unstoppable. So the reason we talk to a lot of the celebrities is because they have such amazing platforms, but they also have a unique experience. The majority of the folks that you mentioned there are first generation. Talk about being wild that is, that some of them come from mixed status families themselves, but here they had a vision, they had a talent, and they were recognized for that talent. And now they're using their voice to pay it forward.
So do you feel that with these particular celebrities speaking out, do you feel that they'll increase voter literacy? Do you think they'll combat the misinformation targeting our Spanish-speaking electorate?
So we actually had to do a little more study and digging in for the Spanish-speaking Latino electorate because they are not receiving the information they need. They are absolutely targets of disinformation, both from foreign actors and from the extreme right. And so one of the things that we did was annotate and really dig in and translate Project 2025, because what we saw was... that Project 2025 goes after reproductive rights. It decentralizes the Department of Justice so that it's centralized power for the sitting president, where the president can weaponize the Department of Justice and go after anybody that doesn't agree with him, quite frankly. And then finally, you know, something that was really concerning, it also advocates for mass deportation, similar to an Eisenhower policy where he identified and deported 1 million Mexicans, where many of them were U.S. citizens. We live in a multicultural democracy. It is very important that we recognize that our strength is in our numbers. And when you have a presidential candidate who actually advocates for mass deportation, regardless of skin color, that is just creating and sowing chaos in communities. One of the most growing, fast, diverse populations right now is Pennsylvania. Could you imagine if we can't depend on our neighbor to help take care of our children or to change our tire, if we go into the grocery store and we're living in fear? That's not who we are. We know better. And the more that Latinos and Spanish-speaking Latinos understand that what is on the ballot is not just, yes, policies and rights, but also democracy itself, that our hope is that they get the right information so they can make the best decision for themselves and their family.
Right, because it scares me, the fact that Trump is running his campaign with fear, and I'd rather be united, and I want to put up a sign in my front lawn, but I won't because of where I live and who I'm surrounded by. I'm afraid to do it. I don't want to be attacked, and I think a lot of people feel this way. So what efforts are underway to encourage civil engagement among our Latino students on college campuses across the country?
So Voto Latino, we launched a program. It's called VL on Campus. And the whole idea is recognizing that a lot of the young people on college campuses who are Latino are first generation. They have so much information that are translating information for their parents every single day. And so why not democracy? So right now we have over 200 active chapters, and they are coming together on October 29th, early vote day, to talk and text and call over 1 million voters, because we recognize that once we talk to each other and we encourage each other and recognize that democracy is a people thing, then we can change the direction of our country collectively.
I'm so happy for this campaign that you are rolling out. Now, for the listeners that are listening to us, I need you to make something very clear to our listeners that are sitting on the fence or are like, oh, the border, it's such a big deal. Well, the border has been a big deal for well over 40 years and then some. It hasn't been solved. It's been knocked down, you know, because Trump called and to his cronies and said, don't pass this because I need something to run on, which is a horrible thing to do. But let's be clear. You said that when Latino workers are here, even if they're undocumented, they're still paying their taxes. But they cannot vote. Am I correct to say that? I need our
100%
listeners to know
they cannot vote. They cannot vote. And this is what's really important. They know that they can't vote because by voting, it's a felony. And two, you could never become an American citizen. The reason that Latinos pay their taxes who are undocumented is that it is the only piece of information that they can demonstrate that they have been contributing to the system. I will tell you that there are people among us that have been living here for 20, 30 years. You may not realize that they are undocumented, but they go home and every year they faithfully file their taxes because that is their documentation that they, how long they've been here, but more importantly, that they've been paying into the system. And if they don't come out of the shadows, the Social Security estate taxes, they never get a return on that.
Right. So let's talk about that too, because I just heard that under Trump's program, the Social Security system will be bankrupt in 6 years. And this has been proven by financial experts. Right.
Carol, yes, but that's because he intends mass deportation. I kind of joke, I only half joke that with Trump, with friends like him, we don't need foreign enemies.
I know. I'm scared. I'm scared for the future of our country.
Carol, don't be scared, because you know what, Carol? There are more of us. There in 2018, we heeded the call, and millions of us voted for the first time. And more importantly, it was a coalition of a multicultural America. And then in 2020, in the middle of a pandemic, we put our lives on the line quite physically for our democracy. And I do think that while this has been a hard time for our democracy, we've also been able to have a live civic lesson, recognizing what can happen if we don't participate. This year, we're going to have 12 million more eligible voters than we ever had in our history, mostly young people. What we need to do is make sure that for those folks that think that their vote doesn't matter, I remind them, you all voted, and now there's $35 inhalers. Now you can, your insulin costs went down to $35 as well. You now have billions of dollars in student loan forgiveness. You have a child tax credit. That happened because you voted. You can now see infrastructure development all across Pennsylvania. That was because you voted. And I know that what is, I think, particularly special about the Harris Waltz and what Biden's been able to accomplish is that they provide relief regardless if the state voted for them. They don't hold grudges, because they recognize that when they get to the White House, every single American is part of their constituency and they work for them.
I love what you're doing. For the last 20 years, Voto Latino, you've kept your ear to the ground for the needs of what our communities need and what they can do and how they can contribute and be valuable to the communities. I love that you're getting this message out there. So for our Latino listeners, and just for any of our listeners in general, if they want to understand more, where can they go for information?
If they go to votolatino.org, that we have all of our election information. You can find out about your early voting. You could find out where you can go vote, what are your ballot initiatives, what ID you need, if any, depending on your state. So please go visit votolatino.org. And if you want to volunteer, you can do that there too.
Awesome. Maria Teresa Comore, thank you for joining us. Today is the last day to register to vote. Make sure you do it, people. Go to this website and get more information. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Carol. And Pennsylvania, let's flood the vote.
Yes. Pennsylvania needs to pull out the vote 100%. Thank you.
Have a wonderful one.
And I hope this cleared up a lot of misconceptions that people have. Do Latinos pay their taxes when they're undocumented? Yes, but they cannot vote. And Pennsylvania is up for grabs right now. I highly recommend that if you want to know more about this, whether you're Latino, know somebody who's Latino, or you just want to understand the community itself, go to Voto Latino. That's V-O-T-O Latino.org and read about how this affects their understanding the political issues. You can literally go there and look at the political issues that this really affects everybody in our country. Healthcare, police brutality, paid sick leave, environmental, gun control prevention, immigration, fair pay, reproductive justice, education, student debt, voting rights, financial literacy, LGBTQ questions and answers, small business. There's so much information there. So if you haven't voted yet and you are sitting on the fence, go to the website, look up the information, understand what's going on. This is an amazing organization. And the kickoff of this program, the kickoff with a PSA that I mentioned, a bunch of the actors that will be out there, you'll be seeing more and more of these PSAs, hoping that, and you can watch the video right there on the website as well, hoping that the youth in our Latino community, that Latinos, they're a huge part of our economy. And to squash them or talk ill of them or say they should go back to their country. Like I said to Maria Teresa, we're all immigrants in this country. Why do people forget that? Why do we allow the hate in our country and the meanness and the not being kind to each other? And I am so riled up about the election right now. Let me take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and talk just a little bit more about this, and then I'll tell you who our guest is next week. Thank you for listening. You're listening to Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, and we will be right back.
Hey Philadelphia homeowners, to build for looks and durability, side your home with LP SmartSide Expert Finish Trim and Siding, now available in brushed smooth texture. Available in 16 versatile colors, LP SmartSide Expert Finish products will help you create a gorgeous, longer-lasting dream home. That's the beauty of brushed smooth. Learn more about LP SmartSide Expert Finish products in brushed smooth texture at lpcorp.com/Philly Siding. That's lpcorp.com/Philly Siding.
Hello, this is Erin, and I have a very important message. If you or a loved one is suffering with any sort of crisis, there is no need to do it alone. Dial the 988 Suicide and Crisis Hotline, where trained professionals will handle your case and get you the help you need any day, anytime. All reports are fully confidential. Dial 988, and a responder will do everything they can to assist you. Remember, if you see something, say something. You may just be saving someone's life. Remember, 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Hotline.
Hi, this is Carol Holloway from Home Improvement Fix and Facts. Listen to me live every Tuesday morning from 8 to 9 right here at WWDB. And if you can't listen live, make sure you go to WWDBAM.com and listen to my podcast. Each week, we will give you great ideas on how to fix your home and some facts on how to put it all together. In the middle of our streets, our house.
You know, back in middle school when they taught us it was three branches of the government, we forgot it when we got older. It's the judicial, the legislative, and executive. But all we know is the executive. That's the mayor or the governor and the president. Now, none of them three people make no laws. They just be checking them. The laws come to their desk and all they do is say no or yes to it. So when the news station tried to tell us that Barack Obama couldn't put us on.
We're back. Hey, Tyler, thanks for putting that on. Great song. That is called, let me just pull it up here real quick. It's a song by Yellow Pain called My Vote Will Count. And your vote will count. If you don't vote, it doesn't count. And then you can't complain about what happens in our country moving forward. Your vote does count. I will probably talk about this again next week after we do our cyber segment series. And then next week, I love when I get an author here. And I love when I have somebody who can really tell us something legitimate, factual, and real. So we will have John Mattinger here next week. His book is called Lethal Doses. It's the story behind the godfather of fentanyl. Yes, it was a TV series. Breaking Bad was part of this. Catch Me If You Can meets Breaking Bad is really what the book is all about. You know, the drugs, the fentanyl, what's happening in our country. It is a number one new release. It status in both criminology and in drug law cases. So John will be joining us with his extensive background in narcotics enforcement. He'll give us an unparalleled look at the DEA's three-year pursuit of Marquardt, a.k.a. Squeak, and the origins of the fentanyl crisis. So super, super excited to have him here next week. He'll be our co-host on the show, joining us at about quarter after the hour next week to talk about this. And then the following week after that, going into elections, oh my goodness, it'll be so close to elections. We are going to have we have a couple book series coming up. We are also going to have a series on let me see if I can pull it up real quick. Segment on mental health crisis and what's going on with our mental health. And let me tell you who's coming on for that one. It's going to be really something to have. And this is probably. Mental health crisis is probably something that's going to be affecting all of us after the election if it doesn't go the way most people want it to go, one way or the other, whatever side. But we are going to have a renowned psychiatrist with 30 years of experience joining us, talking about tips for fighting sleep deprivation, your low mood, your brain fog, all of that is affecting us and what has happened since COVID. So that's going to be another great segment. And then then we have another book coming up after the election. I purposely put this book off till after the election, talking about happiness. Yes. So we have a lot of great things coming up. People, please go to the correct sources. Do your homework. This election is going to be pivotal for our democracy, our Constitution, the people of the United States. Don't think it can't happen to you. When you have Trump out there shouting that he's going to do this and doing that, if his lips are moving, he's lying. We know what he did before. He succeeded off the coattails of the economy that Barack Obama handed him. And then COVID hit and we were a mess. So all these people that say, oh, it was a great economy. It was a great economy. Because after every president leaves office, you feel the effects of what they have done in the next presidency. So that president is on the coattails, whether positive or negative, of the previous president. So I suspect that the coattails going forward will be pretty positive if we see Kamala Harris get into office. So don't waste your vote. Go do it. To quote with our words of wisdom for today, John F. Kennedy, the ignorance of one voter in a democracy impairs the security of all. With that, I hope to see you next week. Same place, same time. Listen to my show, Home Improvement Fix and Facts, tomorrow morning from 8 to 9. Pay it forward. Make it a great week. Do something nice for someone. Thanks for listening.